when the worst place you could possibly die is combined with the worst way to die, it almost guarantees ghostly activity. Then we travel to Australia to take a look at the story of a young man whose life has become chaotic ever since the aliens abducted him. It's not just about scientific probes. It's not just about torturous medical experiments. No. These aliens are looking for a baby daddy. Today on Dead Rabbit Radio. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Dead Rabbit Radio. It's Jason Carpenter. I'm having a great day. I hope you guys are having a great day too. Hope you guys had an awesome weekend. Hope you guys had lots of fun. I didn't really do much. I'm working on this big project for the show, and I don't want to announce it yet. I want to... It will be awesome. It'll be really awesome. But I'm playing this one a little close to my chest. I mean, I've announced video games. That was too much work. I've announced user... People were sending me audio clips of them yelling out, Earth first, Earth first. I haven't gotten around to that. This one I want to wait till it's actually ready. But the contracts are signed, the work has begun, so my weekends are a little more hectic than they used to be. But can't wait to tell you what's going on with that. But someone who tells everybody what's going on with everything, someone who can't keep a secret, running into Dead Rabbit Radio Command right now. Everyone get on your feet and give it up for... Callie. Woohoo! Yeah! Wee! Yeah! Callie's running on in, holding a cat. Callie actually wanted to come and see me at the Oregon Ghost Conference, but they had to cat sit. They weren't able to be there. So, that's all it takes now to get on the show is to be like, well, I wanted to see you live, but I had something else going on. So, Callie, you're going to be our captain, our pilot this episode. If you guys can't see me, do a live show or not, whatever. I mean, you're just on the show anyways. But if you guys can't support the show financially, just help spread the word about Dead Rabbit Radio. That helps out so much. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell everyone you know. Dead Rabbit Radio is your favorite paranormal show. Callie, let's go ahead and get this party started. I'm going to toss you the keys of the Jason Jalopy. Let's go classic this episode. Everyone climb on board as Callie drives us out of Dead Rabbit Radio Command. All the way down to California. We're headed all the way down to California. Specifically, we're headed to Rancho Cucamonga, California. And even more specific than that, we're headed to Red Hill Park. And even more specific than that, we're headed to the auditorium at Red Hill Park. And we're walking around. It's real late. It's real late at night, early in the morning, right? It's like 3:43 a.m. We're walking through the darkness, and I'm like, guys, over here, come on, let's go. Shh, security might find us. We're walking through the park, and we get to the auditorium. The auditorium apparently is where they do, like, music performances, or they just have, like, a bunch of seats, and people get up on stage and talk about stuff, also known as theater. They talk about some guy named Hamlet. But it's nighttime. There ain't no plays going on at 3:43 in the morning. And we're walking and we get to the men's restroom. And I stop you. I go, okay, guys. In 2 minutes, something crazy is going to happen inside this men's restroom. It's not going to be hobos having sex with each other. That might be, happening. It's not going to be a guy shooting up heroin. Although that might be happening in there as well. Those things may also be going on, but that's not what we're here for. We're not here to watch bum sex. We're not here to watch a guy's limbs fall off from trank use. No. I look at my watch. It's 3:44. I go, okay, I got another minute to prepare you guys for this. On the other side of this door, we're going to find a bunch of urinals and a couple of toilets. You're like, okay, now Jason, you're just burning time. Can we at least go in there and check it out? Yeah, sure. But I look at my watch. It's not time yet. But we walk in anyways, and we're standing in this men's restroom, and there's like sinks for washing your hands, paper towels. I'm giving you a tour. I'm like, on the other side of these stall doors, you may find an unflushed toilet. And we're waiting, and I look, and my watch is set for 3:45 a.m. All of a sudden, it goes, ba-da-dip, ba-da-dip. I shut the alarm off real quick, and I go, okay, guys, this is when the magic happens. And we're just standing there in the men's restroom. And then, actually, I just looked over at my notes. It's happened anytime between 3 a.m. and 3:45, so we missed it. I'm like, oh, man. Sorry about that, guys. We have to get a hotel. We stay the night. We show up back at Red Hill Park around 3 a.m. We show up at 2:58 a.m. I was like, okay, guys. On the other side of the store, you're like, get out of the way, get out of the way. We go into the men's restroom next to the auditorium at Red Hill Park. Between 3 a.m. and 3:45 a.m., people have reported seeing a dead dog laying on the floor. Like, wait, what? Is this a ghost story? Is this some dog murderer? This dead dog is laying on the floor and just blood is dripping out of it. And we're just standing there. We'll actually probably try to avoid the blood. You're like, oh man, why do I always wear my new sneakers when I listen to Dead Rap Radio? We're standing on top of the urinals to avoid the copious amount of blood that's pouring out of this dead dog's body. And then it vanishes. So yeah, it is a ghost. It's the ghost of a dead dog, bloody. Bloody dead dog in the men's restroom. Now you may wonder, why you continue to listen to this podcast. You're like, that's horrible. That's a horrible story. And I go, well, that we're not done. It's actually more than just the dead dog. If you were disturbed by that, don't worry. It gets crazier. There are reports of a dead dog, a bloody dead. And now here's the thing. This is what's interesting about this. If you walked into the men's restroom at Red Hill Park around 3 in the morning and you saw a snarling dog on all fours going, and blood was pouring out of its eyeballs and dripping out of its mouth, you'd be like, oh my God, that's like a hellhound. That's one of the creepiest things. Blood's dripping out of its nose and then vanishes. You'd be like, oh my God, that's absolutely terrifying. If you walked into a bathroom and the dog's just dead, it's just the corpse of a dog. I mean, it's terrifying. It's terrifying because it vanishes, because then you know it's supernatural. But other than that, it's just kind of sad. It's just this dead dog. And it's interesting because most ghosts that we know of, you know, a lot of this is theory, but I can't think of a lot of times. I can't say it's never happened, but I can't. It's definitely rare. I can't think of any off the top of my head where a ghost appears as a dead body. I'm sure we've covered something like that once or twice on the show, but I can't think of anything specifically where you would come in to this old house and there's just this old man laying on the ground and like blood's pouring out of his eyeballs. And he's just, you're like, what? Are you okay, dude? Are you okay? He's all translucent. He has little Casper legs and blood shooting out. Sir, are you okay? And then he vanishes. I'm not going to say it never happens, but it's definitely rare. Usually ghosts move around. It's the spirit of a human trapped or lost on Earth. It's not, the more I talk about it, I'm thinking about like particular murder scenes that people will see a dead body on the ground and maybe the killer standing over it with the weapon and then they both vanish. I mean, I'm not going to say it's never happened, but it's certainly rare for a ghost to appear as his dead version. You also got to think, did someone murder a dog in a men's restroom? Was the dog dead? Was this dog murdered before the restroom was built? I kind of looked into the history of Rancho Cucamonga. It's kind of boring, right? It's just like a city. Like Abraham Lincoln was like, I declare you have a post office. Like it's history. History of some boring town, which I'm pretty sure is a Less Than Jake album. But it's just, even Red Hill Park, I was like, oh, dude, is it red? Because, like, a bunch of people died there. It used to just be called Grassy Knoll. And a bunch of people got stabbed there at one point, and there's blood everywhere. And the mayor's like, well, I guess we're changing the name of that place. It's no longer Verdant Avenue. We'll call it Red Hill Park. No, it's just probably had like some tree on it that was red sometimes. And they go, oh, let's call it that. So the history, the town's pretty boring. History's kind of boring. No mass slaughters. No history of dogs being killed in restrooms. I don't know what's causing this ghost to appear. Also, the timing. What my guess would be. My guess is as good as yours. But what my guess would be is either before or after. Like, this could have happened hundreds of years ago. It could have happened 30 years ago. Is that someone sacrificed the dog in a demonic ceremony. Because the timing and the location and the fact that it shows up as a corpse and it's leaking blood, I wonder if somebody sacrificed the dog during some sort of infernal ritual and the dog is reappearing because either the spell is still working or it's like an echo through time of this ceremony that they did. That would be my guess. That a dog was sacrificed. And I would argue probably more recent. Because if there were sightings of a bloody dog on Red Hill Park before they built the park, they might have wanted to figure out some way to get rid of it. They probably would have brought in an exorcist, maybe. I think it's happened more recent than that. If it happens at all, right? Could be local legend. I found a lot of sources telling the same story. But no one was able to say, well, you know, in 1972, a dog body was found in there. Although I would argue that the people who owned Red Hill Park or owned the auditorium would cover that up. That's not the only reason we're here, though. We're also here because in this same restroom is the ghost of a little boy. Which is interesting. We've covered little kid ghosts in bathrooms before. I think a bathroom would be the worst place to be trapped in. Because, I mean, like, being trapped in any haunted house would suck. You're so limited to what you can do. You're stuck in the house for who knows how long, decades, centuries, till your energy fades out or you cross over, if you're allowed to cross over. We talked about that last week. Being trapped in a bathroom, the smelliest place, there's no place, the only place smellier than a bathroom is where bathrooms lead to, like sewage plants or the sewers themselves. Maybe a sulfur factory would be in my top five smelliest places, but bathrooms in general are pretty bad. You're a ghost trapped in a bathroom, and every time you're like, oh, dude, a concert? No, because you know a bunch of people are going to be coming in using the bathroom. And especially, like, you get to, you're sitting there and you're like, oh no, I know that Taco Bell just sent out a bunch of coupons. Like, you see people throwing their trash away in the bathroom and you're looking through it, the newspaper, and you're like, oh no, buy one, get 12 free tacos from Taco Bell. And there's a concert tonight sponsored by Taco Bell. No, it's going to be the stinkiest. It's going to be the stinkiest. And that's your home, right? Strangers come into your house and poop everywhere. That'd be the worst place to die. We've covered bathroom ghosts before. But this one, like, I don't know if this is how he died. I don't know why this ghost is doing this. Apparently, you can go in between 3 and 3:45 a.m. You can see the corpse of a dead dog just laying there, blood pooling out of its body. Or there's not a time limit. Apparently, this can happen anytime. You walk in the middle of the day and you see this. After midnight, you see this. It doesn't specifically say, but people have said they've walked into the men's restroom and they'll see a little boy walking. Man, this is terrifying anyways. I'm not saying if you walk into a restroom, you see a little boy, you're freaking out. You're like, I can never use a public restroom again. But if you knew it was a ghost, then it apparently becomes clear. But you'll see this little boy, ghost, walking towards you. And then he falls and he slides on his knees across the floor of the bathroom and he scrapes his knees up. Now, it doesn't say he vanishes. But I would hope so, right? You see this little boy's walking, he's all, ow! He scrapes his knees up and then he's just on the floor. You're like trying to use the sink. Your hands are all dirty. He's like right in front of the sink, frozen. You're like, I don't know. I really gotta go eat those Taco Bell tacos. You're eating one in the bathroom. Yum, yum, yum. I gotta wash my hands now, though. I went poop. And you can't get to the sink because there's this little boy in front of you with scraped up knees. And apparently this will play out every so often. It's the same thing. A little boy's walking and then he falls and he scrapes his knees on the bathroom floor. I'm imagining he's wearing shorts, because if he was wearing jeans, he'd be like, well, there's no problem. Dust himself off and then give you a little wink and then disappear. But if he wasn't wearing pants and he falls bare-kneed onto a bathroom floor and scrapes his knees up, imagine do it. First off, that's probably how he died, right? That's probably how he died. He's like, ah, his knees get all bloody all across this disgusting bathroom floor. There's urine everywhere. It's all getting in his wounds. He's like, ah, it stings, it stings. And then he gets up and he walks outside and he's like, Mom, I used the bathroom, but I fell down. I scraped my knees. They're all scraped up and bloody. The mom will be like, it'll be fine. And then like a couple days later, he gets this horrendous infection. They're like, how did he get staph? How did he get a staph infection in his knees? The doctor's looking at him. It's all like pus shooting out of him and stuff like that. And the doctor's like, this is the most disgusting thing, this most disgusting thing I've ever seen. I hate to tell you, but I think your son's going to die. He's going to die of, he got all of these diseases by scraping his knees in a bathroom. And the mom's like, isn't there anything you can give him? And he's like, maybe, I don't know. Maybe, I'm not sure, I could probably give him some antibiotics or something, but we might not be able to fight nature this time. Your son may just die. So that could be why his ghost is sliding on its knees. Possible. Possible. That's how he died. I mean, sometimes ghosts are in pretty bad circumstances, being trapped in a bathroom, one of them. But imagine if you had to keep reliving your knees getting scraped. That'd be the equivalent of you dying from an infection because you stubbed your toe really, really bad on the end of a table. And you go, dagnabbit. It's 1803. They don't even know what an antibiotic is. They don't even know what a biotic is. And he gets this infection, he dies. And then imagine if for the next 100 years, as his ghost is trapped in that house, he just keeps slamming his toe into the couch. Oh, and he looks down and the nails popped up a bit and blood shooting out of the end of his toe. Myrtle, Myrtle. I think I'm going to die now. I think I'm going to die. I probably should bandage it up, but you know, we're old timey people. We don't know. Keep stubbing your toe over and over again. You step on a Lego and fall down the stairs. Ah! Dum, 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 dum. Ah! Dum, 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 dum. Ah! Dum. Over and over again. Bizarre by any stretch of the imagination. Both of these ghosts in the same location. See, I don't think the little boy was part of the ritual. I don't think the ritual was like, first we sacrifice this dog. Then this boy plays an electric guitar and slides across the ground while he's thrashing it. No, it's probably two separate things. I would argue, too, that it's possible that you create a ritual like this in an area, it probably would attract more ghosts. Not in the sense that ghosts are bored and they're like, oh, I'm going to go where that giant flaming inverted pentagram's at. No, I mean, it would probably capture a soul easier. It might even use it to feed. There's also the chance, too, that the kid just scraped his knees, got up, and lived to be 107. We don't know. It could be a what we call a residual haunting. This is a super traumatic event. He didn't die, but he'll remember it for the rest of his life. He put an imprint on that area. And the reason why it's there is because a ritual may have taken place. And it's very powerful as far as that goes. We don't know. It's interesting because, like I said, I started looking into Rancho Cucamonga history. And it was boring. I started to see if I could find any more information on this story. A lot of it was just saying the same things over and over again. I did come across this story. Sam... we'll call him Sam. He didn't give his real name, but he, because you can read sometimes reviews of haunted sites. It's absolutely fascinating. And Sam lives in Rancho Cucamonga. He goes, I had heard the stories about the men's restroom. I had actually visited it and I didn't see any ghosts. He left this review on the Haunted Places website. However, he's had his own experiences in Rancho Cucamonga. He lives like 10 minutes away, apparently. Not to dox the guy, but by locations and everything he was mentioning, I was trying to triangulate like how close he lived to Red Hill Park. He said at one point he was driving down 210, which is a freeway that runs right near Red Hill Park, a couple minutes away. He goes, I was driving down 210 And I see a man run across the freeway, and I see him get hit by a truck. And it killed him instantly. So I called 911. And while I'm telling them what happened, oh my God, I just saw a pedestrian get hit by a vehicle. I turned back and I looked. No one had run across the street. And there was no truck. He also says his house, which is in the area as well. He goes, my house has hardwood floors. He goes, I have a dog. Let's call her Maggie. He goes, we'll be sitting at home. And all of a sudden, Maggie, what is it, girl? What is it? Why are you upset? He'll hear her whimper, and then she'll run away. Or, to put it better, she'll try to run away. He goes, I will watch her run in place. She's running, but she will not move forward. She goes, it's almost as if something is holding on to her tail. Like Scooby-Doo, right? When you're trying to run and you can't leave that location. He goes, it's like something's holding her tail. He goes, Maggie, since we moved into this place, super skittish. Doesn't like living here. Often will bark at nothing and will run away. Run away because she's scared of something that Sam cannot see or even sense. So I thought that was really interesting. Rancho Cucamonga, as boring as the town history is, when I was looking for more details about Red Hill Park, I found a ton of bizarre hauntings in that city. A lot of bizarre stuff, so we'll be returning to this city in the future, which I'm sure greatly pleases the tourism board of Rancho Cucamonga. Callie, I'm going to go ahead and toss you the keys to the world-famous Carbonicopter. Let's say goodbye to Rancho Cucamonga. Everyone give Maggie a pet. Scratch her behind her ears. It's okay. It's okay, buddy. That ghost can't get you. Like, just don't visit the bathroom of the auditorium. No, the ghost won't hurt you in your house, but try to stay away from Red Hill Park. We're leaving behind Red Hill Park. Callie, fly us all the way out to Australia. We're headed all the way out to Australia. Specifically, we're headed out to Murwillumbah Highway. Car is driving on the highway. That's near Lismore in, what does NSW mean? I'm going to assume north, southwest. That's probably not what it means. Anyways, we're in Australia near Lismore. The year is 1996. It's 7:30 p.m. We see a man. He just gave his name as John. John is driving down the road. The highway, really. Driving on the highway from Lismore. He's headed back home. When all of a sudden, His truck dies. Like, what was that? I thought you were joking on something, Jason. What was that sound effect? His truck dies. He's turning the key. Click, click, click. Oh, great. I turned it twice. That's all I can do. My car's not working. He gets out, pops the hood. Nothing seems to be off. Everything seems fine. And he's like, oh, great. 7:30 at night. Not super late. But he is in Australia, so there's like one person per every continent. There's basically one person in Australia. It's so sparsely populated, he's like, I'm going to walk home. Hopefully, someone will drive by and see me, and hopefully they're not a serial killer. We are a species of criminals here in Australia. I'm going to get a ride home, hopefully, but if not, I'll just have to walk. He's walking home. And that's when he feels something touch him. A bizarre sensation, to say the least. He's in the middle of nowhere. He feels something touch him. But it's not just that. It's where he feels it. It's in his spine. Something is touching his spine. And he looks up. Probably because you can't look behind you, right? You probably turned around a couple times and you went, huh? Thought it was a porcupine behind him. No porcupine. He looks up and he sees two white lights shining up high in the air. Like over 1,000 feet up. That's when he hears the sound of something he can only compare to an arc welder. And while he's hearing that, he hears that, he sees the lights flying around up in the sky. He begins to see trucks driving by on the road. I mean, that's what his goal was, to flag down a truck to get some help. And he's watching these trucks passing by. His spine is tingly. He's hearing this bizarre noise. He realizes something's wrong, right? Which is probably something right when he felt his spine start to tingle. He's like, I'm not Spider-Man. Something's wrong. So what he does, even though these cars are driving by and this is his help, he hits the ground and rolls down an embankment. He's laying there and he looks and he sees these long, skinny legs in front of him. And he starts to look up just a little bit more. It's an alien, right? He probably knew that by looking at the guy's legs. He's like, what? Those legs look like alien legs. He looks up. It is a gray alien standing there. And the gray alien looks at him and goes, you can't get away. He grabs John's arm and starts dragging him towards one of the ships. So I'm assuming one of these ships have landed. I mean, he'd be kind of showing off if he's like, wee! He's flying around with John holding onto his arm. It says he dragged him towards one of the ships. So I think one of the ships have landed. While he's getting closer to the ship, John said it didn't look like a typical UFO or flying saucer is what is generally in the media. He said it was a gunmetal gray that was in the shape of the Eye of Osiris. It's pretty slick stuff, right? That's like, I could see that being a cool UFO design. The alien is dragging John towards the UFO, and John doesn't see any doors on this thing. The alien's pulling him closer and closer to the vehicle, and John's like, no, we're going to hit the wall, bro. We're going to hit the warp. And they both phase through the wall of the ship. Well, it's time for the tour. We see this happen in a lot of UFO stories. The gray alien, who John later will learn his full name, the gray alien's name is Theo Rabba. And Theo Rabba goes, let me take you for a little walk, right? You've been walking a lot. We probably could have abducted you way earlier. I think it's implied that they are the ones who shut off his vehicle. The fact that it just died and he couldn't figure out what was wrong with it, the aliens disabled the vehicle. And I'll also say, I know I'm going to forget to say this at the end of the episode, so I'm going to say it right now. I think the trucks driving by was his brain trying to process. Well, I don't think there actually were trucks driving by at that moment. I think something was happening, whether that was one of the vehicles landing, or his brain was basically like snapping and he was seeing an escape, or the aliens created this as some sort of illusion. I don't actually think multiple trucks drove by at that point. It's like something happened. I think that's a really interesting detail because we've covered that before. We did a story a long time ago about an alien who built a gas station in the middle of nowhere. It might have actually been Australia now that I think about it. We have another story about aliens who set up a fake ambulance roadblock. Like they made it look like there was a car accident and an ambulance there and a police vehicle there. And when the driver slowed down because they don't want to, you know, disturb the scene or get in the way of the ambulance, the medics, they were abducted. The aliens walked up to the sides of the car and pulled them out. So we do see them do these type of things with these roadway abductions. I actually think it's something that happens more often. It just doesn't get reported either because they don't remember it. Most likely because the abductee does not remember it. I think stuff like that happens more often. But anyways, he's aboard this ship. Theo Rabba's giving him a little tour. John sees some aliens working at computers. They're typing buttons and stuff like that. Theo Rabba's like, yeah, it's pretty cool, right? Computers, do you have those here on Earth? Kind of. It's 1996. They're kind of popular. Theo Rabba takes John into another room, and that's when he sees these jars or flasks, as he calls them. John sees that these flasks are all filled with a red, green, orange solution. I know I keep interrupting the story, but that's another super bizarre detail, because that's incomprehensible to us. A solution that is, I mean, you could say it looked like a melted rocket pot, but red, green, orange. Like when you try to picture that, what it wasn't completely red, it wasn't completely green. All those colors seemed, it would seem like brown. But when we're talking about alien technology, when we're talking about alien chemistry, it will do things and appear in ways that we can barely describe. This red, green, orange solution, and inside the solution were baby aliens. And they're just floating here in these little incubation chambers. Theo Rabba walks over to John and says, would you like to have something to do with these in the future? Would you like to help us with our breeding program? Before John can answer, two more gray aliens show up, grab him by the arms, and hold him in place. When a alien-human hybrid woman walks towards him. It looked like a normal woman, a normal human woman, except for a few things. Disproportionately long arms. And very dark, almost completely black eyes. That's pretty close, right? That's pretty close. If you met some hot girl and she's a 10, would you want to date her? The black eyes, that doesn't bug me at all. Like, if I met this girl and she was like, hey, what's up? And I turn and I look and her eyes are just completely black. I mean, I'd wonder what caused it. But it's not a deal breaker for me. Even the disproportionately long arms. I mean, like, if her knuckles are dragging on the floor, we might, you know, we might shut the lights off when we have sex. She could still, like, grapple me. Hold me like a spider holds its prey. It's not a deal breaker for me. Basically, all date freaks. But it's too much for John. John sees this woman walk in with disproportionately long arms and black eyes. And he's like, no, never. No, I only date tens. Real tens, not Jason tens. Jason dates all sorts of freaks. And the woman sees that John is resisting her. So she morphs her body into all human. The arms shorten, the eyes turn to a normal human eyeball. And he goes, yeah, I can do this. I can do this. I can have sex with a human woman. I can't have sex with a hybrid. Even though I know it's a hybrid, just disguised. I can have sex with her. So the gray aliens that were holding his arms let go, and they get it on. A close encounter of the turned on kind. They have sex. Now, after sex, he's like, oh, you know, that wasn't that bad. That wasn't that bad. I thought it would be weirder having sex with someone I knew was an alien, but that was totally fine. Afterwards, the aliens go, okay, now we're going to shove this metal tube up your butthole. It's like, wait, what? What are you guys doing? And they did the classic anal probe, which you actually don't see a lot in alien abduction stories. It's a bit of a meme, but this guy got one. This guy was hoping. He's like, oh, I guess that was just a stereotype. They're like, nope. In our case, it's real. They shoved a metal. I don't know if they shoved it. They might have been gentle, but gentle or not, it would be an alarming thing. You're just like, oh, man, just had sex. Now this is happening. They put a metal probe up his butthole, and then they took a patch of skin from his left palm. They go, oh, this is for DNA samples. Even though you just left copious DNA samples in that young woman over there, these are special DNA samples. We have to do this. John is told what all of this is about. Theo Rabba goes, John, the reason why we have this interspecies breeding program is that our home planet was destroyed, along with most of our species now. We have actually made great gains in correcting that, but nowhere near where we need to be. So for us to continue as a species long term, we need to use hybrids. If we continue to interbreed with those of us that are left after the planet blew up, our gene pool is just too limited. So by introducing hybrids, then we can have a more diverse gene pool. We're bringing in more DNA into our gene pool. So thank you. Thank you for your service. We really, really appreciate that. And they drop him off back on Earth. They don't say where, right in the story, I'm assuming. They started his car back up again. They're like, oh no, can't do that. We don't interfere in the vehicles of other species. You're like, what? I'm actually part of your species now. I'm creating hybrids. Nope. I don't know if they dropped him off at home. I'm sure that they dropped him off back at his car and they started to form these aliens, give him a jump. They have cables going from their spaceship into his battery. That'd be pretty fun, right? I mean, who doesn't want to bang an alien? I would be down, right? I mean, as long as it's consensual, I don't want to get tied down tonight. A bunch of gray aliens walk in and they're like, hey, you said it was cool. No, it has to be like a sexy alien. But, you know, I mean, like, out of the paranormal, okay, let me put it this way. What would you rather do, be possessed by a demon or have sex with an alien? I'd much rather have sex with an alien. Right now, you're like, yes, Jason, now that you put it exactly that way, I would choose sex with an alien as well. There we go. We agree. But John sees it differently. He apparently, after all of this is said and done, didn't really appreciate it. Because later that same year, he was walking along a road in Kingscliff. And he looks up in the sky and he sees two white lights in the sky and he starts freaking out. He starts screaming, leave me alone! Leave me alone! I don't want to have sex with anybody. Imagine you're driving down the road, you don't see the lights in the sky. There's just this guy who's like, last time we had sex, you shoved something up my butthole, and I've never pooped the same again. I'm never having sex with you aliens. You're like, what? What is going on? Thea Raba does appear and tells him, hey, we put an implant in your finger, which I think is interesting because that's how they're tracking him. And also, he didn't include that in his first narrative. So even though he remembered so much from that first story, there were memories he did not recall, like having an implant put in his finger. And even that encounter there, it's just him seeing the ships, yelling at them, and then Thea Raba showing up. I'm sure he was completely abducted again and just doesn't remember it. Once you get abducted by aliens, the chances of you getting abducted again are much higher than the general population. That's something that we've seen. After that, not the same day, but I mean after that abduction, one day, John is walking through the bush. He's walking through the bush of Australia, the outback. Maybe not the outback, maybe like the next door back. And he's out there just hiking. Right? Like I said, I wouldn't have a hard time banging some alien, but if you didn't want to do it, there's a easier way to prevent it. Don't go out in the middle of nowhere. Maybe hang out in town where there's lots of witnesses. He's out in the bush and he sees something out there and he's looking and he's like, what in tarnation's that? And he realizes that what he's looking at is a female alien human hybrid. And she's standing there. I'm assuming she had the pitch black eyes and the long arms, because he can tell it's a hybrid, but she's also wearing a breathing device. And they begin talking telepathically, and she goes, hi, John. Hello? He thinks. Yeah, it's just beautiful day for a walk, right? No probes, I'm not holding anything, I'm just out here in the forest as well. And John's like, okay, yeah. A little cautious. She tells him that she's here on Earth because she's still learning and adapting to our environment. She says, I have to wear this breathing device because otherwise I'll choke in this atmosphere. But we have to do this to slowly acclimate to this planet. That's why I'm out here. And you know. John starts to realize that he's not talking to just any alien-human hybrid. He believes that this is his daughter. again, the story ends there. Probably was abducted after this point. Like that day, probably was abducted later that day. John says in the end, he believes that he had 6 children with the aliens, 5 boys and 1 girl. He has done his part in help saving the gray species from extinction. I found this on thinkaboutitdocs.com. They got it from AUFORN, which I believe is the Australian UFO Research Network, Queensland. It was written up by Emma Durdak. Thinkaboutitdocs.com is really good about sorting through stuff and labeling stuff that's been confirmed hoax, suspicions, things like that. So they're really reliable resources as far as I've come to know them in the past couple of years that I've used them. Interesting story, alien-human hybrid. That goes back to not the earliest days of UFO, like the new UFO phenomenon research, really from 40s, you know, Roswell. That's when that's kind of the start date for the new UFO research. But even then, Roswell was not as famous as an event as a lot of us think it was. It wasn't until the 60s and 70s when it became a huge event. Yeah, it was reported in the newspaper, but a lot of stuff's reported in the newspaper. It really wasn't until the researchers of the late 60s and 70s started bringing up Roswell, started making it a thing to be remembered. So we have these different phases of UFO culture, UFO research, UFO experiencers and such. The human hybrid program is, I would say, probably, you might find earlier sources, but really caught the eyes of people in late 80s, early 90s. A lot of it was just being abducted, experiments being run on you, which would make sense because you wouldn't abduct, like imagine the aliens came here in some sort of sizable force. Aliens could have been visiting this planet for tens of thousands of years, but the fact that now we're having crashes, they're getting detected, there's stories of them being captured, all of this stuff, that's all ramped up since 40s, 50s, 60s, and so forth. So let's put that on the calendar that that's when this new wave started. You would do a ton of experimentation before you started a hybrid program. Before you started letting dudes on the planet come up to your ship and have sex with your women, you'd want to make sure that it would work and that it wouldn't kill anybody. Honestly, you'd probably try that first and then eventually try to go to an in vitro program where you can get the DNA and then replicate it in the lab and you don't have to keep abducting these humans. It's really interesting. And what this made me, this might sound completely unconnected, but when I was reading this story, I was thinking humans and aliens are two different species, but the aliens need to expand their genetic material, their genetic pool, otherwise they will interbreed themselves to death. It'll just be all this inbreeding, and eventually race will collapse. You need to have new genetic material in there. I started thinking, okay, so let's assume that's true. Let's put on our conspiracy caps for this. What if, because think about it, there's 8 billion people on this planet, and we already do share a lot of DNA. Not every bit, but as we continue to have these population booms, these things will continue to happen. We may not run out of genetic material now. If we, as a species, for whatever reason, decide to stay on Earth, I think that's a bad call. I think we should start colonizing, truly colonizing other planets ASAP. People on Mars, people on the moon. Who cares if there's a bunch of bacteria on the Mars and we're killing off the bacteria? Put humans there, populate it. We should have continents of population on Mars. But even then, the people on Mars are still sharing the genetic material with the people here on Earth, people here on the moon. I started thinking, what if that's what's behind the whole anthropomorphic furry phenomenon? What if the goal, because you're a scientist, and you go, Mr. President, in the next 200 years, we're going to run out of DNA. We're going to just run out. The president's like, what? How does that work? Scientist goes, just trust me. We're going to be interbred. We're already interbreeding. It's nuts. So it's going to get worse. But what if we took a human and a fox and then made a human fox? He's giving this presentation in a fursuit. He's like, can't even hold his pen. He has these giant paws. He's a giant fox. I was just like, what are you talking about? He goes, no, 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 hear me out. If we introduce fox DNA into the human DNA stream, you can have a fox-human hybrid. And that's a good thing. He says as he's sweating in his fursuit. He's like, wearing a diaper. President's like, why are you wearing a diaper? He's like, I just like diapers. It's not that I go to the bathroom through my suit. It might smell like that, but that's not what you're smelling. It's the musk of the fox. Now, I'm not saying that humans are going to have sex with animals. No, that's disgusting. But you would do it all in a tube. You would have a tube, like a tube full of this solution. It's just like Dawn soap. I don't know. I'm sure they can make a solution up where you mix the DNA of a human and a fox, and then it's a little fox person. I know there you'd have to do a lot of work, possibly a scientific sci-fi levels of technology, maybe even magic. But imagine if you could take a human and make it half human, half fox, and it's not this monstrosity. It actually looks like the fox from Robin Hood movie. That fox. And then he grows up and he gets married and has, he would have sex with a human woman. The human woman would not have sex with a fox. She would just have sex with half a fox. So that's not disturbing. Or I shouldn't say it's not disturbing, but it's less disturbing. So then her kids would be a quarter fox and 3/4 human. And they would probably just be a little furry. Not like furry like in a fursuit, but I mean just fuzzy. They'd probably be have little brown fuzz. Right? And she'd probably give birth to like 6 of them at once. She's like, as they're ripping through her. She gives birth to 6 fuzzy babies. And then you've now expanded the gene pool. And the president's like, wow, that is fascinating. You're right. If we keep interbreeding amongst each other, eventually, we're just going to run out of DNA. They're building a fursuit for the president. He's like, I like what you're thinking. I'm an elephant now. And you could possibly do this. The question would be why? Why would you want to have a bunch of half-human, half-animals running around? And the reason why is because imagine if we were faced with genetic annihilation and we don't have aliens coming down to save us, or, you know, we're not being told of that. What would you rather have happen? Would you rather have a child who's half warthog, his giant teeth running around. Billy, no, he's all eating all your vegetables. You're like, why do I even bother planting in this garden? He's all digging through it, looking for truffles. Imagine if every family, like, you didn't have a choice, right? They go, listen, at this point, everyone on the planet is related by like a 10th cousin, or maybe even less. I'm talking like 200 years in the future. We're just going to keep interbreeding. It's going to get worse. You can either take the chances that your child's going to be completely inbred, or Dr. Fauci is dressed up as a giant moth. He's like, or we can genetically go in and craft for you a furry baby. Maybe, like, you want a son who's a bat, right? And you're like, yeah, that's not too bad. He's like flying. A lot better than this warthog I got. That was the first trial. You're like, oh man, why'd I get warthog? And you would say, we'd still be human. We'd still have human brains and human hearts and human feelings. We would just be anthropomorphic animals. And the beauty of this program that they're enforcing, we can't stop it. You can't stop it. He goes, listen, here you can have these anthropomorphic animals. And it actually works great because not only are we introducing this new genetic material of these cats and dogs and a walrus, all this stuff, but now because the gene pool is completely free, now you can have a half-human, half-fox have sex with a half-human, half-horse. And so their child will be half human, a quarter fox, and a quarter... It's just this monstrosity. It's like, how do you breathe? How do you breathe? Ah! They're like, you know, we've had a lot of babies suffocate this year. Maybe we should kind of rein it in a bit. We should say, if you're aquatic, if you're an aquatic guy, yeah, that'd be cool, right? Imagine if, like, you're sitting there in the delivery room and your wife is giving birth. You're like, Jason, please stop. Please stop. A bunch of fish come out. But their eyes are human and they're all, daddy, 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 all flopping on the ground as the doctor hurries up and gets a tub of water for them. Daddy. Swimming around in the water. And then we wouldn't have to worry about it. We wouldn't have to worry about this problem that, as far as I know, might not exist. But I do think it will exist. I think we need to expand our genetic material. Is it possible that all of the furry imagery that has permeated our culture, really, since when? I mean, you could go back to the days of Big Bad Wolf and the Three Little Pigs, but definitely like since the 60s, 70s, it's kind of hard to get away from anthropomorphic animals in our media. And now we have a whole group of people who take that lifestyle and make it part of who they are as furries. What if this is all propaganda to prepare us for the inevitable, for the human species to be interbred with animals, not having sex with animals, because that's gross, but having our DNA spliced with animals. So maybe that's what DuckTales was all about. It was all telling us, listen, someday you're going to have a bunch of duck people walking around. There's nothing you can do to avoid it. This is just how it's going to roll. You're going to have a bunch of duck people walking around. You're going to have a bunch of dog people walking around. You're going to have no humans, because a lot of these worlds, there are no people. It's just anthropomorphic animals. Because it's not some sort of crazy fetish thing. It's not some sort of evil plan to dominate the earth. No, they're just saying, we are going to run out of genetic material. This is a do this or we go extinct. We will have a whole host of diseases because we will be so interbred that eventually we won't be able to function as a civilization, as a species. We will collapse. So, I mean, we're just going to get you used to the idea that you may eventually have a son who's half goat. That's just the way the world works. Maybe. Jason, no, none of that. That's not, we have thousands of years worth of genetic material. Maybe, right? Imagine if we had a catastrophic nuclear war. Like these aliens, their planet blew up. Imagine if we lost 90% of our society due to war, famine, meteorite strike, whatever, and you only have 10% left, and they're like, this sucks, guys. Luckily, we have 10% left of humanity, and we have all this animal DNA. Probably could have gotten rid of this and saved another 10% of humanity, but we needed to store this animal DNA. Who wants a kid who's half marsupial? And someone will go, oh, you know, that might come in handy. You raise your hand, and Dr. Fauci bounces over to you in his kangaroo fursuit, and he says, well, I'm going to take some DNA material from you, and I'm going to go back in my lab, and about 9 months later, you're going to be the proud parents of a kangaroo boy. Or girl. We don't know. He bounces back. He makes that noise, all boing, boing. We're like, I'm pretty sure he's making that noise with his mouth. I don't think his feet are actually doing that. Boing. A dark future for humanity, or our only choice at survival. Has the media slowly gotten us used to the idea of half human, half animals ruling the planet? From Zootopia to The Last Unicorn, these movies have been preparing us for the future. But will we be willing to accept it? When that gnawed up bone is dangled in front of us and it's thrown into the distance, will we be willing to run on all fours to fetch it? Or will we lay down and play dead? You're like, what? That's a weird analogy. It's going to get weird. We're living in a weird world. Half human, half animals. DeadRabbitRadio at gmail.com is going to be our email address. You can also hit us up at facebook.com/deadrapradio. TikTok, meanwhile, I'm not looking this guy up. Insane. This guy's nuts. TikTok is at Dead Rabbit Radio. Dead Rabbit Radio is the daily paranormal, conspiracy, and true crime podcast. You don't have to listen to it every day. I'm so glad you listened to it today.